It's the administration's challenge to a lower court ruling expanding the definition of bona fide relationship under the travel ban. The ruling means the exemption pushed by the state of Hawaii is effective until the matter is resolved in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. The ruling was not all bad news for the White House because it still allows the enforcement of the ban. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wayne Allyn-Root. I was one of the biggest critics of Obama in the national media. Suddenly, I was under a penny. Thank you, Sam Landis. Many of you have IRS problems, and you've spent thousands with non-lawyer tax resolution firms. Do yourself a favor. Call Sam Landis for a free consultation. Trust me, Sam Landis is the best. Sam saved my life. Call Sam at 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. That's toll-free, 800-WE-HELP-YOU with the letter U. 800-WE-HELP-YOU.
After a rough day on the range, a feller can get a bit saddle sore. That's why I use Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. It works fast and penetrates deep to soothe my tired muscles and joints.
And he don't stink.
And I'll tell you one thing. I had no idea this stuff was so darn handy.
Blue Emu Original Super Strength Cream. Available at all major retailers. It works fast for long-lasting soothing of tired muscles and joints.
And you won't stink.
Now, back to the Legends of Success. Once again, here's John Resnick.
We're back on Legends of Success. I'm John Resnick. Coming up a little bit later, pretty soon, will be our friend John Davis, the faculty chair of Families and Business Program at Harvard Business School, and he'll be joining our guest today, Howdy Holmes, the president and CEO of Chelsea Milling, better known as Jiffy Mix. What a branded product, a household name. They got Goliaths like Pillsbury and General Mills, yet this is the little engine that could. Chelsea's kicking their butts. They really are.
So, well, that's one way of putting it. Yeah.
I'll say it. You can't, but it's unbelievable.
John would, and the business school folks would say market share.
Yeah, well, John Davis.
Butts, okay.
I've got John Davis coming up later from Harvard. He can offset my street talk, all right?
But there you go.
The bottom line is you're a champion for so many privately held businesses who are coming up against these major behemoths, and we salute you, Howdy Holmes.
Thank you.
In 1936, your grandfather died tragically. How did you guys handle it? How did the family handle it? He was the leader.
Well, it was difficult because my grandfather and grandmother had two children, identical twins, Howard and Dudley. Mm-hmm. And upon his tragic and early death, they were 23 years of age. They came into the business along with their newly widowed mom, mm-hmm. otherwise my grandmother, and just took over. And they were smart enough to realize that that they didn't have all the answers at 23, and they depended a great deal on those who were already here, mm-hmm. and I call the stakeholders per se, and also were smart enough to accept the idea that my uncle and my father divided up the business so they wouldn't be stepping on each other's toes.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother, on the other hand, as the senior member and the major shareholder at that particular time, and remembering that she's the one that invented our first product, was a pretty astute businesswoman. She stayed for about 4.5 years. The boys, as I refer to my father and uncle, I mentioned they divided the duties up, and my father did sales and administration. My uncle did procurement and oversaw the flour mill, and all of them, father and uncle, grandmother, and all of our employees, they just made it work. It wasn't succession in the sense that it was not at all planned. It was instant.
It was forced.
And so you just sometimes when tragedy strikes, where you have no choice about things,
yes,
you generally rise to the occasion and get it done. When you have time to think about things and you have time to plan and debate and dialogue and discuss, that's when it gets a little bit bumpy, Lester.
You know, that's a really interesting observation, Howdy. So many people want to think about it. I was in business in a brief time on a venture with somebody who's a brilliant guy, And I would come up with the ideas, and I wanted to execute. I want to do my due diligence. I want to execute. He says, well, let's think about that. Let's think about that.
Yep.
I can't handle complacency. Think about it later. Let's get the due diligence. Let's execute. You think too long, nothing gets done.
No, that's exactly right. And, you know, people are famous for what my cliche about that sort of thing, John, is this, that we judge ourselves by our intentions,
mm-hmm.
but everybody else judges us by our actions.
Well put.
And so consequently, there's generally a pretty big gap between those two things. We're generally fairly generous with our personal appraisals,
right.
And it may not have anything at all to do with what our behavior dictates.
And that's a very good observation. What I need to do is skip a little bit, and you alluded to your grandmother. You know, folks, back in the 30s, there weren't a lot of women in business.
No, there weren't a lot of women in business, and particularly women who were inventors and entrepreneurs in the sense that she was. And I mean, literally, our Jiffy baking mix, which she developed and also named, was the first ever retail prepared mix item, period.
Absolutely. And that came out of necessity. That wasn't an idea like, let's go make some money. She was helping some kid out, wasn't she?
She was. My father and my uncle had a friend in the neighborhood here in Chelsea that was being raised by a single parent. Actually, it happened to be the man, the father.
Mm-hmm.
And the boys, as I refer to my dad and uncle, kept bugging their friend to come over for lunch. He was a little reluctant because his dad had made him lunch. But finally he caved in, went over for lunch, and my grandmother, who knew that this young boy was being raised by dad, was curious to see what he had made his son for lunch, and she kind of looked inside the brown paper bag, and there right on top was what she referred to as a white hockey puck, otherwise known as a biscuit. Now, you've got to keep in mind that this is 1928 or so.
Sure.
And everything in those days was made from scratch. Now today, anybody under 40 who buys a mix thinks they're baking from scratch. But that's not really baking from scratch.
No.
Baking from scratch is using all the ingredients. And so when she saw this white hockey puck, to use her words, she had this thought that wouldn't it be nice to develop a product that could save people time in the kitchen and be so easy even a man could do it. So she was clearly ahead of her time.
Necessity is the mother of invention, and this product wasn't invented because Mabel White Holmes said, gee, I'll come up with a profitable item. You got to remember, Chelsea Mills was a milling company, still is a milling company, but she took it to a whole new level out of necessity and common sense and perseverance, and boy, has that thing evolved to, again, today, the leading brand product in their market category in America, and now partially international. You're shipping out of the country as well with those products.
We are, yeah, and it's a fascinating story, and of course there are a lot of stories out there like that, and
sure.
And many of them have the same kind of interesting background, in the sense that you just didn't sit around all day trying to figure out what you're going to invent. All of a sudden,
a
combination of things just sort of sequence themselves, and it spawns an idea, and voila.
And you just
come up with something.
And you react. Folks, we've got to take a quick break and pay some bills. When we get back, we're bringing on John Davis, and we're going to talk with Howdy about his transition when he left the business and came back, and boy, did he have changes. And I want to have Howdy share those changes and ask John Davis, how do you normally handle these issues? You're listening to Legends of Success. We'll be right back.
Under 30 horsepower diesel tractors are in high demand. Yanmar meets this demand with the powerful SA series that go above and beyond ordinary tractors with the famously reliable Yanmar engine. When it comes to compact tractors, 35 horsepower is the just right size for many people. The Yanmar Model YT235 tractor fits the bill. Open platform or factory cab, the YT235 is your best choice to put a famous Yanmar diesel engine to work on your land. Look to the Yanmar YT3 series for the best over 45 horsepower compact tractor. Only the YT3 Yanmar tractors can increase your productivity and time savings with the unique, proven, and reliable IHMT transmission. From subcompact 21 horsepower to 59 acre-eating horsepower, Yanmar provides you with powerful tractors and matching attachments for the whole range of compact tractor tasks. More information at yanmartractor.com. That's yanmartractor.com.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
Hi, this is Ethan Resnick, and you're listening to my dad, John Resnick, on Legends of Success.
We're back on Legends of Success. I tell you, folks, this show is going so rapidly, and it always does when we have great guests like Howdy Holmes, the president and CEO of Chelsea Milling, branded as Jiffy Mix. We are now joined by our friend John Davis. John is a longtime friend. He is the faculty chair of Families in Business Program at Harvard Business School, has worked with some of the most renowned family-owned businesses in the world. And right now, Howdy, I want to say that in 1968, you're a senior at Eastern Michigan University. You're a salesman for the family business called Chelsea Milling. You leave. You take a direction off. You become a race car champion. In 1978, you were the Formula Atlantic champion. You're the Indianapolis 500 Rookie of the Year. You're gone for 20 years. But when you returned and your father was there, you had a whole bunch of new ideas you wanted to introduce, which took a lot of guts.
That's an understatement.
Tell us in a capsule how you reentered the business. Were there conflicts? And then I'd like John Davis to offer his observations on how you handle this.
Sure. Well, I should say that when I left in 68, I had a discussion with my father, and he knew that I was going to come back. I always wanted to come back. None of us knew when, though. It turned out to be 20 years. My father was 55 when I left, 75 when I returned. And I was a race car driver. I also ran a marketing business and an advertising business and wrote a book, all in motorsports, and had a wonderful business education. But when I came back, I saw the little blue boxes, but I also saw a company that was in pretty serious trouble. I anticipated a monumental task upon returning. So what I did is I put together a business plan to exit from racing and to re-enter Chelsea Milling Company. And during that five-year period, I read as much as I could about family businesses and tried to prepare myself for what to expect. I knew there was going to be a lot of drama, and I tried to develop resources of individuals who could help. And sure enough, when I came back in November of 87, I saw a business that was struggling. The thing that concerned me the most, John, was that nobody else saw that. Certainly shareholders didn't, and that was my biggest concern.
We'll be right back on Legends of Success with more of Howdy Holmes and upcoming John Davis from Harvard. You're listening to Legends of Success.
This report is brought to you by Northwestern Medicine. The three most common and severe threats to cardiovascular health in the United States are heart failure, heart attack, and stroke. These potentially fatal conditions are treated in hospitals across America, but Northwestern Memorial Hospital in Chicago has become a leader in the treatment of heart failure and other cardiovascular diseases. In fact, the Bloom Cardiovascular Institute at Northwestern Memorial is ranked number one for survival rate of heart failure patients and number two for survival of patients suffering from heart attack or stroke. Dr. Clyde Yancey, Chief of Cardiology at Northwestern Memorial Hospital.
Northwestern Medicine has taken a nation-leading position in heart failure through a disease-specific patient-level approach that involves identifying and then treating patients earlier in their disease. It is now possible to delay and even prevent heart failure. Mechanical pumps and transplants are important, but the future is in restoring heart function and ultimately the prevention of heart failure.
To learn more, visit heart.nm.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntingtonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
We're back with Howdy Holmes, who right before the break was sharing with us that when he re-entered the family business, things didn't look so well. He had to decide, do I help the family or do I help the business?
My father at the time was in charge. I had a brother who was here, cousin who was here, and let's just say that it was fairly typical in the sense that my father had all the voting stock. He came into this business, as you know, at a young age of 23, worked 7 days a week along with his brother, my uncle, and it's very difficult for anybody to sort of plan their retirement or their exit, if you will. Mm-hmm. And understanding that, I was faced with, do I try and help the family or do I try and help the business? And to me, you make family decisions with your heart and you make business decisions with your head, and you need to be able to figure out what those two things are and guaranteed for conflict.
And let me ask John Davis real quick before we get too far down the road. John, is this typical where the next generation re-enters the family business and they're faced with this structure that has been in place for so long? How do you psychologically handle that re-entry, John?
Well, someone who comes back into the family company, especially if they – now, you left early in this process, Howdy, and you were gone for, you said, 20 years, and so – You came back, what, at the end of your 30s or maybe when you were 40 years old?
My late 30s, that's right.
Late 30s. And by that point, of course, you'd had a wonderful life education and management education. You knew things. You were aware of things. And you saw the world in a different way than your family members had by being in the business all that
Correct.
Time. My colleague Joe Bauer has written here at Harvard has written a very good book on succession, called The CEO Within, and he talks about the inside outsider, someone who is part of the system but sees things from an outsider's point of view, and I think that perfectly describes Howdy the position you were in. Mm-hmm. You were a member of the family, intense loyalty to the family and business, but you had other perspectives. And coming back in with those, you were able to see that the company was in trouble and needed to change. And very often, family members inside a company, you know, they're very rooted in their ways of doing things. Plus, they get a bit defensive when people from the outside, you know, or even the inside say, you know, the way you're doing it is wrong. And
Well, on top of that, I was a race car driver, and I've yet to find anyone who can correlate intellectual capital and race car driving.
Yeah, so they had a kind of a convenient way of tagging you is not really knowing what you're talking about.
Right.
And so, yeah, my goodness, I mean, this is a big deal challenge. And the ability to overcome that resistance and to convince people, because after all, you didn't have ownership control, your father did. Mm-hmm. And there were other relatives who were the loyal relatives, I'm sure, that had quoted or, you know, tagged as loyal relatives who had stuck with him all of these years. And now you were coming in from the outside and wanting to shake things up and, who are you? And I've heard this story a number of times. I can't wait to hear how it turned out, though.
How did your dad's cronies in the business handle you? As some brass kid coming in to take over? I'll bet they resisted.
Well, no, they didn't. Interestingly enough, all the drama and trauma was with shareholders and not with the stakeholders. The stakeholders, of course, could see that there were problems, but who were they to talk to? They didn't have a voice. You know, it's as infrastructure, as a sole proprietorship, so you have two or three people who have decision-making ability, and everybody else, their opinions never get asked. So it got pretty bumpy, and John, you perfectly described the situation. The good news is I kind of expected that to happen, so I was prepared. And the one thing I realize, you can't take those things personally because that's when it really falls apart. It
you
wasn't
bet.
Easy at all. And when I talk about succession, I try and make a joke out of it. I say there's really two good decisions. Assassination is one of them, and exile is the other one. Other than that, any decision you make is going to be very, very difficult and painful, and somebody's going to get their feelings hurt. So I brought in business psychologists and interviewed all the shareholders and many of the stakeholders, and the purpose of that was to get the facts up on the table. Because in families and in businesses where you don't have voting stock, If the guy in charge or the mom and dad don't want to talk about something, it doesn't get talked about. And,
of course, that's
the biggest problem.
You bet.
So I had to figure out a way to get these facts up on the table. And by bringing in business psychologists, that's how we did that. And and eventually the issues were put on the table. And, you know, we started to have some dialogue. Of course, it was reluctant, and interestingly enough, one thing that always gets forgotten here is you have a father who, and this is typical, has all the voting stock and sons and sometimes daughters, and this drama is taking place. But of course, you know who everybody talks to, and that's mom. Okay.
Right.
But who does she talk to?
That's right.
And so having a sense of that and an appreciation and a sadness for that, I tried to do things in a way that would cause the least amount of sort of familial shakeup, but with the emphasis on doing what's in the best interest for the business. There were four or five bumpy years, but it works, and now it's just fine. There are still some hard feelings here and there, but generally not to the extent that you and I read about, who are very familiar with family businesses, successes, and failures. So I, along with others, I don't want to take all the credit because that's not appropriate. Nor is it accurate, but I did prepare myself.
Howdy, thank you so much for the gift of your time. I know we had to reschedule a couple times. You're an awesome guest. And John Davis, I thank you, too.
My pleasure. And Howdy, it was great to meet you over there.
Nice to meet you, John. And thank you very much, John Resnick. I appreciate it and hope to get to meet both of you personally somewhere down the road.
Well, folks, that wraps up another edition of Legends of Success. Thank you so much for being here. I'm John Resnick. We'll see you next week.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then we suggest you call Page Publishing at 1-800-658-8202 immediately. That's 1-800-658-8202. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we will give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or biography, and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 1-800-658-8202 now for your free author submission kit. That's 1-800-658-8202. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 1-800-658-8202. That's 1-800-658-8202. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with a simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 1-800-658-8202 for your free author submission kit.
Hey, Big C here, doing a little practicing for the Hunterdon County Chamber's 16th Annual Golf Classic. We're teeing off at Tuesday, October 3rd at Hawk Point Golf Club. The signature sponsor this year is Hunterdon Healthcare. Besides enjoying a great game of golf, this event is an excellent way for you to promote your business via our sponsorship opportunities, silent auction, and networking luncheon. The Golf Classic launches at 8:30 a.m. with registration, breakfast, and a putting warm-up. This scramble format will begin with a shotgun start at 10 a.m. Plus, we will have some exciting contests to enjoy throughout the day. Oh yes, the winning foursome will be presented with the fabulous Hunterdon Cup. Talk about bragging rights. I got you this year, Team ExxonMobil. I'll see you on the first tee.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com. The studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey.